This is Ethan Winterovich, sales agronomist with CHS Ag Services at Stephen, Minnesota. We're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network, CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Friday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Tyler Donaldson, along with Randy Conan and Jamie Dickerman. With billions paid out in litigation and more court cases pending, Bayer is evaluating whether the Legacy Roundup brand will be part of the company's future. Bayer CEO Bill Anderson told the Wall Street Journal a decision will be made in a matter of months. In an interview with the Red River Farm Network, Bayer Crop Science Vice President of Stakeholder Relations Martha Smith said it's not feasible to continue domestic production of Roundup unless changes are made.
Right now, we are not making money from the standpoint of selling glyphosate and selling Roundup because of how high these litigation expenses are, and that the fact is that there doesn't appear to be an end in the future unless we are able to get more states like what North Dakota did to pass legislation or to get that relief from the Supreme Court.
A bill seeking the preservation of crop protection tools was approved in the North Dakota legislature and is awaiting the governor's signature. With split decisions in federal court, Bayer is also petitioning the Supreme Court to review this issue, and that should be known by midsummer. Bayer supplies 40% of the glyphosate worldwide, and Smith said it would have an impact on farmers if it went that way.
I think we all understand supply and demand and what happens in a situation like that. And of course, the other suppliers for this is primarily China. There's perhaps some other places in Asia too, but as of right now, it's primarily China where the generic glyphosate comes from. And of course, we all know what is happening with tariffs and other things right now.
The full interview with Martha Smith can be found on the Red River Farm Network website.
The announcement that Bayer is considering discontinuing production of Roundup has raised concerns within the ag community, but NDSU Extension weed specialist Joe Eichley says it wouldn't be the end of the world.
There's still plenty of other manufacturers of glyphosate, and so there would still be some supply. It would just, probably in the short term tighten up some supplies. Probably not for this growing season at all, but moving forward, it would really just kind of change the supply chain a little bit where glyphosate is coming from, assuming some other company can come in and take up the mantle on leading the charge with that label. I don't think at this point in time there's a real threat of losing that molecule, but if it were to happen thereafter as we start importing more product or making more, probably some potential supply chain crunches and price increases.
Eichley admits the loss of glyphosate from the toolbox would be tough on farmers.
If the molecule were to go away, then that would be a very difficult proposition because it is still one of our most effective herbicides that we use in crop production. And when I look at our local and state level, some of our most problematic weeds, things like green foxtail and wild oats, some of our grasses, that can be problematic to control in other crops. Glyphosate is still one of the best options we have if we can rotate to a glyphosate-resistant crop for in-season control of those weeds.
Springfield work starting in the Ada Borup, Minnesota area. Central agronomist Keith Hennen says a few guys got rolling earlier this week.
Kind of the first fields that they usually get into, they're able to get into. We got some grain in. A few beet fields have gone in now. A few guys have gone in and scratched a few fields and said they needed it. But it's coming around. Good time to start. I don't like them starting too early, but this is kind of nice when we're getting into the fields.
Soil temperatures are warming fast.
Well, this year with no snow, we got warmer soil temperatures. We're planting into this year than usual, I think. And I think the crops are going to come up pretty nice. We've got some guys put some beets in. They got the sprayer right behind when the planter pulls out, they're pulling in, spraying, getting the pre-emerge on. So that's good to see. And then we got a little rain last night, so that helped a lot there too.
Farmers in the southern Red River Valley are still sidelined by wet conditions and lingering frost. AgriValley Solutions owner Jay Myers farms near Colfax in Richland County and said that activity is limited so far.
There hasn't been anybody in our immediate area yet. Yesterday I was out in the Oaks area and I seen a couple tractors in the field look like maybe small grains might be going in. And east of us, the day before that, I was over into the Minnesota, across the border there, and I seen a couple drills going there. It looked like some small grains going in, but haven't heard of anything too much. Some guys are talking next week they might start putting some corn in, but the forecast doesn't look real good either. I think there's rain coming in.
Myers said there is still a lot of frost in the ground.
Well, we just had just about 2/10 of rain yesterday on that little system that moved through, and the frost hasn't gone out yet in our soil, so the ground has just been kind of holding moisture towards the top, so it looks pretty wet out there right now.
Field activity picking up in the Red River Valley. BASF business representative Nick Salentine has an update.
The valley, it seems like there's definitely some guys that are getting out there. There's some sugar beets going in. There's some guys, you know, getting their fields worked. There's fertilizer getting spread. I think, you know, the further west you go outside of the valley, it seems like they've gotten a little bit more rain that has kept them out of the fields. I know the further west you go, there's some guys that have a little ways to go yet before they get going. But yeah, in the valley, it seems like there's definitely fields that are graying off and ready to go.
U.S. Ag Secretary Brooke Rollins says the Trump administration is working quickly to ease restrictions for non-citizen farm workers as labor shortages continue to challenge farmers nationwide. The administration aiming to finalize changes to the H-2A visa program and create new legal pathways for workers by harvest season. Rollins says it's a topic she's discussed with President Trump for years, following his recent comments suggesting farm and hotel workers could leave and re-enter the U.S. legally with employer support.
A decision to review and revise the Endangered Species Act is getting praise from North Dakota Agriculture Commissioner Doug Goering. Goering said if the new regulations are implemented, it will protect landowner rights, allow farmers to use critical crop protection tools, and maintain protection for at-risk species. Go to the Red River Farm Network's website, rrfn.com, to sign up for the weekly FarmNet News newsletter. You can also download this broadcast and follow us on Facebook and X. It's all at rrfn.com. You're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Friday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. A report released by NDSU Extension shows farmland values throughout North Dakota have increased by more than 10% each of the last 4 years. Extension Ag Finance Specialist Brian Parman was surprised by those numbers.
When I put this report together, I expected land prices to be up, but I didn't expect whatever I said, 10.5%. A lot of the programs that have been implemented over the last 5 years or so have been paid out in cash. And a lot of that cash has been used to buy farmland, for one. For two, 2022 was a record year as far as net farm incomes go. And 2021 was a very good year as well. And so you're coming off of a record year in 22. There had been quite a bit of cash, you know, moving around, and a lot of it was, you know, put towards farmland purchases.
Harmon says farm size throughout North Dakota has increased over the decades, while ownership of land has consolidated.
We've seen the trends. You look at North Dakota, and we keep data on, through the Farm Business Management records, on land ownership and how many acres are farmed on average versus how many acres are owned versus rented. And the number of acres owned really hasn't changed in over 30 years. It's been around between 480 and 550 acres owned forever, but the farm size has more than doubled on average. And so the land ownership as a percentage of total acres farmed has shrunk from almost 50% 35 years ago or so, 30 years ago, down to, you know, 25% today or so.
The grains put in a quiet back-and-forth week. Martinson Ag Risk Management President Randy Martinson says the market seemed to be searching for news.
It seemed like the market just was off. It was looking for something, and it just wasn't coming. And, you know, we've kind of died down a lot of the talk about the tariffs, and then with, you know, reportedly a bunch of countries in negotiating trade deals. I think the one thing that was disappointing, Japan left without a trade deal done on Thursday. And I think that pressured the market a little bit late in the week or late in the session. But when it was all said and done, you know, wheat on Thursday finished with a little bit of gains, everything else with a little bit of losses. And for the week, we're just going to see small losses pretty much across the board.
While the grains were quiet, the livestock markets had a big week.
See some pretty good gains as far as the cattle market is concerned. You know, we picked up over $7 in the live cattle market, close to $8 in the feeder cattle market. You know, it looked like once the dollar or the Dow kind of stabilized, we started to see buying come back into the cattle markets. I think there was some technical buying, some guys that wanted to be long, they came in after that heavy break. Then we traded back and we got above those stock or those gaps that were created when the tariffs got announced. We had three gaps that got created when the market sold off, and we came back and filled all of them but the top one. And right now, you know, the market is sitting in position to do that. Cattle on feed report, you'd have to say, was neutral, maybe a little negative to the cattle market. But right now, it's going to be all about cash and demand. And right now, that's, I think, helped drive it this week.
Cattle markets continue to find support. Here's the Money Farm analyst, Sam Swanson.
Yeah, I mean, feeders, man, the April contract opened gap higher with actually new contract highs today. Just unbelievable what we're seeing in the cattle market. And actually, we do have cattle on feed report this afternoon. Unfortunately, the trade won't have a chance to react to that until next Monday either. But, yeah, very impressive to see what the livestock index is doing here this end of the week.
Swanson thinks the cash trade is pulling the futures higher.
Yeah, you know, there's definitely some optimism there with the cash market. That seems to make the most sense. You know, we also got outside markets are higher too. They've actually had a strong end of the week here too. So maybe a little bit of both there, but it's really impressive to see that. And I would suspect cash is probably the main driver behind that.
The Surface Transportation Board voted unanimously to vacate a previous decision involving a North Dakota grain elevator and its access to the BNSF Railway. In 2007, the Surface Transportation Board allowed Canadian Pacific to acquire 45 miles of rail line in northwest North Dakota from BNSF. With that deal, BNSF was able to serve shippers through a service agreement. In 2020, the STB granted a petition from New Century Ag to reopen the case because the CP limited the number of BNSF cars that could use the interchange. A year later, CP petitioned the board to reconsider, claiming it took an unprecedented step to reopen a minor transaction. In the latest decision, the STB approved the CP petition, effectively denying New Century Ag's request for improved access to BNSF. This is the Red River Farm Network. Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. Let's catch up with Ag Week reporter Emily Beal. Emily, what do you have for us on the cover of Ag Week?
There are around 3 million honeybee colonies in the United States. And after Project FSM was hearing whispers from commercial beekeepers that a lot of colonies were dying, they decided to put out a large-scale survey. So about 80% of the nation's beekeepers actually ended up responding to this survey, and it was questions about how their colonies were doing and if they were seeing these mysterious deaths that have kind of been whispered about throughout the honeybee community. And it came back that 1.6 million out of 3 million of the nation's honeybee colonies had died over the winter months, which is just an absolutely staggering amount. Project APHIS-M is a leading research organization within the honeybee world. So they put out this survey because they were hearing about all of these colony deaths. And what they found in their research really didn't help them that much. They couldn't pinpoint a reason why all of these colonies were dying. I spoke to John Miller, a fourth-generation beekeeper from Gackle, North Dakota, and he's had a lot of experience in the honeybee industry, and he thinks this is going to completely change the way beekeepers navigate in commercial beekeeping. He's not sure if beekeepers are going to be able to afford making that long-haul trip with their honeybees to California for the almond pollination and other large-scale pollination events, even with the assistance of the Emergency Livestock Assistance Program. It's definitely going to be an interesting time to see why all these honeybee colonies are dying and pinpoint the cause.
Thanks, Emily. Looking forward to reading about it next week's Ag Week.
Just a reminder, the markets closed today in recognition of the Easter holiday. That being said, let's take a look at the upcoming calendar of events here. Minnesota State FFA Convention next weekend in Minneapolis, April 30th, NDSU Livestock Fencing School. Next month also, ND Junior Angus Association Field Day in Carrington. Have a great weekend. Have a great Easter. This is the Red River Farm Network.